Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Reveille, reveille, donks.
Look at us now, tip to tip. This is our life. This is our passion. That's the spirit we bring to this show.
I'm Luke Thomas.
I'm Brian Campbell.
This is Morning Combat.
Oh, yeah. We are knee deep in the land. Believe that. Morning Combat back at it on the scene. Crispy and clean, Cleveland, Ohio, Friday, August 27th, 2021. 2 days out from Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley, this Sunday night, Showtime pay-per-view, on the ground to break it all down. We've been there. Luke Thomas, Brian Campbell, with you for the press conference, with you for the public workouts. We'll be with you for the weigh-in on Saturday. But today, Luke, we got a set the weekend show. A live one, so expect it to be a little rusty and wild, right, from the these asbestos-filled surroundings that they've set us up in here.
Yeah, it's not like I was going to make another rusty joke, but I'm not going to do that. Continue, good sir.
No, wow. All right. So we've had fun this week. We're gonna rock out here and set the stage for all things Paul Woodley, all things UFC Fight Night Saturday night, PFL back on the radar as well as the playoffs continue, and all the latest in combat news. Hit you with a little dead wrong. All right, maybe touch tips on the way out. But Luke Thomas, we joked around just before the cameras turned on. We're like, you know, what's our tip of the week? And you're like, fuck Cleveland.
I did say that.
Okay.
I was mostly joking. Not entirely.
Can you update, you know, your own personal journey here?
Cleveland kind of sucks. I mean, you know, there's a lot of these Midwestern cities. You're like, why is it there? But, you know, listen, the people are nice. The food, I will say, the food has been surprisingly much better than I thought it would be. But, like, the downtown area?
Food's been good.
BC, I wish I had more hands. I'd give that downtown 4 thumbs down.
And defend myself as I'm walking. Luke, I want to meet the person, though.
They put us next to a... If you've been to New York City, it's right across the street from the New York Times. There's this place called the Port Authority. It's like the bus depot, basically. So it's like it's all the bridge and tunnel, like our producers, Matt. And then, you know, all of the... Just the Walking Dead, basically, coming in and out.
We would call a place like this growing up, you could die there. Yes,
they put us next to Cleveland's Port Authority, yeah, basically.
Yeah, yeah,
so it's been fun going outside, dodging, you know, getting knifed and other things.
There are less fortunate people out there, Luke, if you can show a little respect for that. Because of your otherworldly passion for your cité, for Washington, D.C. I mean, you even flashed that trash stash you got right here of the tattoo that even Jared Hurd
no-sold you hard. He did.
I want to meet the Cleveland donk who is like all about this shit on a Luke Thomas D.C. level in terms of Cleveland.
Jake Paul.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, if you're from this place and you in conversation to me refer to it as the land... You're probably a little too enthusiastic about this place.
All right. Does it have Old Marietta vibes or no?
No, Old Marietta is worse. Cleveland, like I said, food here, I've been impressed so far. You had a meal. We should acknowledge this. What was it, the first night we were here? So Wednesday night?
It was a top three all-time meal. Right?
No, it wasn't that good.
No, it was really good.
It was good.
For us in the Black Liver Society, it was really good, okay?
But it was good. But the point being is, like, you couldn't deny the food was nice. The service got questionable at the end, but for the most part was pretty good. And the seating in that, like, sort of corner area of the downtown was actually pretty nice. So food and people here, nice. Downtown,
All right. We'll keep that going. Like the video, subscribe to what we do here at Morning Combat. Yeah, we've had our schedules were in whack there. We hit you with a late Thursday show this week. You didn't get your typical Wednesday episode, but normally it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. LT and the BC hitting you up 11 a.m. Eastern, right here where you are right now. So let's get to 100K, okay? We'll say that. Also, Gaff, are we still telling people to vote for some podcast award? All right, well, why don't they do that? Okay, why don't you head on over to worldmmaawards.com/nominees under the category of best MMA programming. You will find Morning Combat. Okay.
Are you going to tell folks about what it says about you on my Wikipedia page?
You are going to find the American Alpha, Brian Campbell. Okay.
American Alpha.
That is. Well, look in the great war of North America in terms of MMA media and journalism. Uh-huh. I had to take a stand. I must protect this house, right? You've taken too many L's against that country in your career. Mm. I, the American Alpha, have to stand in and be like, enough of this. So the lineage breaks right here, okay?
When you look at yourself in the mirror, how often do you just weep?
Or how often do I have Dirk Diggler type moments?
Probably never, I'm guessing.
Probably. But you can imagine what it'd be like. All right. Also, 30 days free of Showtime, the only place in the States you can watch Bellator MMA. You got championship boxing. You got all the good shit.
There supposed to be the Divya Benavidez fight, but it got pushed back.
Rescheduled, yes.
So it's not going to be tomorrow night.
So, but Showtime Championship Boxing is going to be back with a big one, with a big fall. So get on that 30 days free. And also, why don't you buy our merch? It's not available apparently yet, but couldn't you see what the merch folks, what our guy Krupp has cooked up right here.
I just want you guys to know,
BC
has clearly never gotten this kind of attention in his life, and you gave it to him. And now he's literally wearing a shirt with his fat face on it. And I kind of like it, actually.
Yeah, it was a pre-health intervention, BC, on there. But I hear that this will be for sale. I hear there's some Factory Town MMA in the works, okay?
So there needs to be.
MorningCombat.store is where you can find the 2.0 launch, and it's doing well. And we're loving it, so hopefully you guys are too. We'd love to see it on your bodies. You know,
you said that the worst way possible.
I'll use my hands, right? Yeah. All right. Luke, before we get into the five topics, hit you with the setup for the weekend. There's a lot of talk, and I wasn't going to bring this up because to me it's like, get that shit away from me. The idea of me going to, you know, an abortion rock festival in my home area of the Webster Theater in Hartford, Connecticut later this fall and going to see Dying Fetus with you and I'm not about that shit. I'm not about that life. I'm not trying to connect with that side of the afterlife.
But I just want to point out, I took my pregnant wife to a Dying Fetus show and she loved it.
Yeah,
you, the American Alpha, you are less of a man than she was 8 months pregnant.
But there are a lot of creative. Now, I think you and I and Mikey, our producer, can both agree that there's been an overwhelming response to this.
It's more or less, not quite, but it's more or less upwards of 80, sometimes 90%, depending on where you're looking.
I mean, the people are really into this idea.
I just feel like it's a little hypocritical if I'm using that word. Wow. You make me do the tap dance with the wheel all the time, and then you don't own up to your end of the bargain.
Hey, I did drink out of that chew.
Which was awesome. You nailed it.
Speaking of abortion rock, imagine the things that have been done inside that shoe. Yeah. I mean, that's just disgusting.
That shoe was an abortion. I mean, that's really what it was. So I'm just saying this. If you want to be taken seriously at all as someone who can, you know, can dish it out and take it, one concert is what I'm asking you to.
You trying to say Lithuanians have soft skin?
I'm trying to say this is your chance to man up right here.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can hit a curveball? So my point in bringing this up was not to delay the open of the show, even though that just comes natural. I mean, it's just incredible, right? It's uncanny. What I really wanted to say, Luke, was a lot of people say, okay, BC, if you're willing to do this for the brand and for that gram and for the nookie, so to speak, what if on the flip side, you had a home and home deal? You had a rematch clause in there, and you basically said, I'll do this for you, Luke Thomas, but you come with me to like the Jam Band Summit of like Dead & Company, and we go backstage with O'Teal, and we hook up with Bob Weir and John Mayer, and I'm like, Luke, this is what it's all about right here, okay? Are you feeling that?
Do I have to do it sober?
Have you ever done the show sober?
as long as I can be high as a kite, yes, I'll go.
All right, you will immerse yourself in
I'll
that.
I'll go.
Oh, wow.
Dude, I've had to take my wife to concerts so she didn't go solo, like, for years. And
would you get a little bailamo, let the rhythm take you over?
Bailamos, you mean?
I really have a very
which means
Americanized way, like, of looking at pronunciation.
Like, let's dance, we dance. No, well, she's into black metal from Europe. I told you that, dude. So it's a lot of, like,
yo, this chick sounds hard, bro.
Yeah, dude, she'll fuck your ass up, you know.
Yo, and then her brother will fuck you.
He'll just fuck. He'll just fuck. It's what he does.
All right, yeah.
Dude, yeah. The best part is I can do all that. They're never going to see this.
No chance. You could cut promos on your father.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We could reenact Good Will Hunting, and I could remind you that it's not your fault.
You could be, but then you'd have to hug me, which yeah. you don't want to do. I've learned my lesson. Oh,
only on camera. Doc 5, they say we're filming a Doc 5. I don't see the Doc cameras anywhere. Anytime the good shit goes down.
I have to say, the Doc effort this week, weak.
Wow. Wow.
And that's me saying it.
Wow. All right.
Normally, normally, this is true, they're in my face to the point where I'm like, please get the fuck out of my face. I have to tell them to stop. I've seen them, what, once, twice this whole week?
We are mending fences, though, this week. We're having reunions. We're seeking out peace for ourselves, for others, Luke. Okay? And that's a commendable move. Mm-hmm. All right? All right? We're going to get two different countries together. It's going to be heartfelt. It's going to be great. You'll see it on Doc 5, hopefully. All right, Luke, let's get into it. No need to prolong this pain any further. Let me hit my ISO cam and hit you up. Our opening topic, of course, is why we are here. Sunday night Showtime pay-per-view, 8 p.m. Eastern, the start of your 5-bout pay-per-view main card. But it's what the questions have not yet been answered in terms of the ability, in terms of the integrity of whether Jake Paul, one of the biggest brands out of nowhere in this boxing pay-per-view game, stepping up to the most dangerous challenge. We know the storyline's coming in. Tyron Woodley, the former UFC champion. Luke, you and I this week have had the pleasure of sitting down with them at the public workout, although neither one, from a physical standpoint, really revealed much. We got to be there with the near melee at the press conference yesterday. But this time it's about the fight this week, Luke. Anything you want to tie up loose end-wise that we learned potentially about this fight from the experience the last 48 hours?
I think that everything that we kind of thought before seemed to pan out. I didn't come away with anything changing directions for the most part, but I want to say two things. One, I think both fighters, which, you know, you can call Jake Paul that. I mean, he is a licensed professional boxer at whatever level, but he is one. He has taken this very seriously. Every indication from every person around him and himself pretty much indicates, unless they're all very much on a program to just lie to the media, which can sometimes happen, but
that's standard operating procedure.
Yeah, but not like to this extent. This would require a lot of lying on a lot of levels, and I just don't see that. So I think he really prepared. I think Tyron Woodley really prepared. And I was texting with a guy last night who was a radio host in D.C. He was asking me, he was like, dude, Jake Paul's not really going to beat this guy, right? And I was trying to, because he was like, isn't Tyron Woodley legit? And I was trying to explain to him, like, yeah, dude, Tyron Woodley in his time, A-plus athlete, decorated champion, one of the most difficult weight classes. But, you know, there's this reason and that reason for not believing that he's at his best now. But this is the point I wanted to make, and this is the one I just want to keep coming back to. Listen, if you think that Jake is going to go in there and starch Tyron, I completely understand that worldview. And similarly, if you think that Tyron is capable of things that we have just not really given formal credit to, I wouldn't even really deny that. What I want to say here is the unpredictability of everything here is extremely high. It's not an exhibition with changed rules or bigger gloves or shorter rounds or anything like that. This is very much a situation where it's a professional contest, but how is Tyron going to look in his fifth round of boxing? Nobody knows. How is Jake Paul going to look? I'll wrap up here.
No, I don't want you to wrap up. I want to embellish even more and dig deep. So are you saying basically that, like, this might not be about the boxing? This is as close to a real fight as you're going to get, because it's not going to be the exhibition, but it's also not championship level boxing and defense. More or less, they're going to have to eventually go at it at some point, and it's going to be about some of those other intangibles.
These guys are what would happen if you were going to a jiu-jitsu tournament, and let's say you had some white/blue belts, something in that territory, and not world-class ones either, right? Because you can get guys who are on these tracks to just do incredible things like a Nicky Ryan. But the point I'm trying to make here is, dude, like people, it's the same situation you get when Bellator would have those old man fights. They are going to show flashes of brilliance, or in the case of Jake Paul, he is the younger guy. He does hit hard. He is the bigger of the two. At the same time, the capacity for the bottom to fall out at any point is extraordinarily high, especially relative to, let's say, you know, a Pacquiao versus an Ugas. They're going to make mistakes, but they're only going to make the kinds of mistakes that another professional at that level would be able to take advantage of. Here, you're going to get all different kinds of errors, some of them cataclysmic, some of them probably fight-ending, and then some of them just wacky and bizarre.
You're going to see fouls. You're going to see somebody run out of gas way too early.
Probably.
And you're probably going to see both hit the canvas. And by the way, if all those things end up happening, and then potentially you add on a Jake Paul win, although either way, people are still going to care. Say what you will about this genre, and we've been very honest the whole ride. Some people think you sold your soul, but I'll stand by your soul, at least on this. This is going to be kind of batshit crazy fun. And that's what this genre should be.
I don't know if it's going to be fun.
That's what this genre should be, bro.
But this is my BC. Then make the case. Then here's what I would ask you. I'm not denying. In fact, I think the likelihood that this will have fun action at whatever level you want to call it, I think it's pretty high. But the idea that it's guaranteed that this is going to be action. No, I want to wait and see. I can see a situation where Woodley backs it up, plays it close, slows it down, wraps him up, and it's not necessarily all that exciting at all. So this is very much, to me, somewhat uncertain.
If there was a dark black lining to this cloud, you found it, Luke. Thank you very much.
We've got to be honest with the audience. Like, am I guaranteeing it's going to be action-packed? I think it will be. I don't know that.
But I like what you're saying. The bottom will fall out eventually, and it will become what it's going to be. And I think that'll be a brawl, and I think all of our questions may not even get answered, but you still may get a winner. And I think it's going to be fun in that regard. So we've been all through the rhetoric, all through the storylines this week, all through the up and down.
I want to ask you one. I want to ask you one if I can, because I really want to get your perspective on this.
I'd love to share it.
Tyron Woodley, in the lead up to the fights that he lost, talked a big game, and some of them better than others. But he talked a big one before Usman, and he talked a big one before Luque. And obviously against Luque, I talked a big one before Colby, too. How much do you get the vibes that this is the same kind of thing? Or do you feel like there might be some meaningful differences based on some of the pre-fight stuff? Including by the fact that I think he is in better shape this time.
He is in better shape. There's no question. And I wonder if there's a mental freedom in doing this separate from the UFC vehicle and just, you know, feel like the center of attention is really on him for this one. I don't know. I think his confidence was believable. I think every time I heard him speak, I wanted to go, oh, man, I need to rethink completely how I think this fight might end in that regard. I think he has a chance to potentially be the better boxer in this fight, and it might not matter if it turns into a crazy brawl. But I think Tyron's been impressive. I think if you're wondering or worrying whether his emotions might change or jack up because of what went down with his mom getting yelled at Thursday's press conference and the near skirmish melee after, Luke, I don't know if you saw that immediate interview he gave right behind us with the sunglasses on, and Mark Raimondi and company were there. And
there's the highlights right there.
Essentially, his response to Mark was, you know, what am I going to do? Get extra mad and want to knock him out even more? He's like, I was already at that level.
Right.
And I think that's where the professionalism comes in. Like, we still don't know what Jake Paul's going to look like if he gasses out or gets hurt or has any kind of major issue in there with the real fighting spirit and that possibility of, is he for real on the inside? Well, we still don't know that about him. We kind of know that about Tyron. Yes, right? But when you say that, when you commit to that, are we just overlooking the value of those four losses and what that means to his prime and what he has left and what he wants out of this?
It's hard to know because we got into this yesterday. Like, he lost to very good fighters. Vicente Luque was the only one who wasn't a champion, and he got finished in that one. Obviously, he got finished in the Colby one via injury, but he got, like, straight up submitted in the one against Vicente Luque. So there was this sort of, like, you know, you lost to Kimura for the championship belt, and then there was the Gilbert Burns fight, and they were taking you down. It was a sort of, like, slow examination of his decline. Still, you know, how many times have you seen this in MMA where guys go on four or five losing streaks, but they kind of stick it out, and then they put two, three wins together, not against the same level, but against something respectable? Have we lost sight of that being possible for Tyron Woodley? At the same time, BC, we're not going back to MMA. He didn't go to Bellator or PFL and then get back an attorney or whatever, get in a fight. He's doing something completely different, and the amount of, like, I don't know. It's hard for me to look at this as Jake Paul not finding a guy that he and his team thought they could beat off the break.
Right.
At the same time, I've just seen so many fighters in MMA have really bad patches of their career and then find a little redemption, a little bit of pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. I guess we'll see what he can show us on Sunday.
A lot of times that comes down to the intangibles, though, because there seems to be a lot of moments in a career, especially in the 30s, where you're like, okay, I could see that being the end. I could be seeing that being the end of the competitive era of this fighter, you know, where they just start to fade away and get old faster or just look like they don't have it. I don't know that about Woodley, you know? I don't know for sure based on the result of those four losses exactly where his fighting spirit is at.
And also, there's a question, too. It has to be asked. I don't know what the answer is, but it is at least worth bringing into the discussion. To what extent, yes, he is getting his largest payday. Is that motivating? But I don't know that it's just motivating because it's the largest. To what extent, I'm not saying he's broke or anything, but to what extent does he need the money, given that he has himself acknowledged he was living the lifestyle and he was sort of involved in all the champ stuff and he had all these projects. I mean, those things don't come cheap for the most part. They usually have to pay for
all of them. Studio time's expensive as shit.
It's insanely expensive. So my point being is, to what extent is the motivation not just that it would be a record paycheck, but the kind of paycheck that could be actually quite valuable at this moment in his life? These are things worth, and that, by the way, there'd be nothing wrong with that, but if that is in fact part of the motivation, part is what the word I used, that would be something in favor of Jake Paul and why you might think he might win.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out if this confidence level of Woodley is going to walk him right back into trouble again, if he's going to be too eager to think that it's more of a mismatch than people think and think that he can just kind of stunt on this guy and does what he wants, and then I think you can also pull Woodley back into a brawl, and I have that fear for him.
That's true.
That at any point,
especially if it starts going bad early.
Yeah, and I don't mean from like a chinny perspective, one like a flash end of fight. I just mean like he gets hurt and it's downhill quick from there. You know.
But also too, like if you look at the last the Vicente Luque fight was not this way. But what was the common denominator against? And yes, these were all world class fighters. But what was the common denominator against Burns, against Colby, and against Kamaru? It's that Tyron was listless. I mean, he just wasn't really there. That's also possible here, too.
And that's a major sign. It's different from when someone's taking too much punishment and they can't, their chin is gone. But it's still disconcerting when you feel like the failure to launch, the failure to let it go, Luke. There's a major emotional, mental blockage in a lot of those cases when that happens.
Yes.
It's hard to like define, and can that bubble be burst and broken?
I think those are
negative parts into what make up the betting line into this.
Okay.
And why Jake, with the 15-year, we can't overlook 15 years younger. Naturally bigger. Okay. When you're just younger and stronger and more explosive in that regard, that could play a big factor. But as we look at the odds right now from our partners, minus 190, Caesar Sportsbook, Jake Paul.
The odds
as
narrowed.
The favorite. And plus 160, Tyron Woodley.
Yeah,
there's value on both sides. I mean, this is accurate, this line.
Yeah, when he was high minus, Jake Paul, 200. I think he was even a minus 300 at one point. That was way too much. But this one seems more right. There is a part of this conversation, though, that we have to have, BC, that I haven't seen a whole lot of folks have, in large part because, you know, how many times can you have it? But this time it feels like it's a little bit different. What is the UFC thinking this whole weekend? And here's what I mean. They have done a very good job of just being like, letting it all play out. Yes, I think Dana White gets annoyed when he gets asked questions about Jake Paul, but Jake Paul makes these statements irrespective of whether or not there is
a fight. They also let him get front row seats for that last big fight.
Exactly. They like the attention
fight,
he brings.
Get the exposure. Yeah.
In that sense, too. However, you have to think about it in this case. There has been a number of these happening. This one, to me, we said it when this fight was announced. This was from Ben Askren to Tyron Woodley was a clear escalation, not just because Tyron's a better athlete and certainly a better striker, but he was a decorated UFC champion. And what would it say? And again, it was not the first time it happens, but you know, you can find a situation where you get the straw that breaks the camel's back. Dude, it's a bad look for MMA, not just UFC, but for MMA, that they're champions at the end of their run and they need a big paycheck, or at least they would certainly want to get one, the one they never got in MMA, into a sport that they have modest, at best, familiarity with, and they're happy to go take L's, in the case of Ben Askren, because he wanted a giant paycheck, which, again, I understand. But, dude, it makes MMA look bad.
True,
and you know Dana White is getting driven crazy about this. What I'm saying is, are they going to start finding ways to stop Jake Paul from doing this against former UFC fighters?
No, here's the funny part about that. And it shouldn't be funny, but I don't think Dana gives a fuck about that side of it. Like, it's not even bothering him. It's not even a thought process
in
his mind.
He seems to get annoyed when he gets asked about Jake Paul saying that.
It's more about, you know, it's not about him, oh, Jake, don't go talk about fighter pay again. I don't even think Dana cares about that either. I think it comes down to just straight up, will Jake win, and will it be in such a successful way, and will it continue to show the promise it's shown Fight Week in terms of just grabbing the attention? This could be a big deal come Sunday night. will that lead Dana to go, okay, how do we get into business with this guy? Enough of this shit. If he's going
to
knock out...
Yes, to co-opt him,
If he's going to finish our guys, which I don't know if he could beat a Masvidal or a Nate Diaz or a Conor. I mean, we'd have to really look it up. Right. But it's like, you know, if he wants to fight those guys that badly, then let's make money off it similar to what we did with Maymack.
Okay.
But the relationships aren't the same anymore. You know, Dana doesn't say nice things about Stephen Espinosa or Showtime. Doesn't feel like that's just going to happen, you know?
No. I just want to say this. Jake Paul is not possible without what is happening in MMA. And think about it this way. I'm not saying he wouldn't find some other creative way to do it, but the ease with which he has risen and to the point which he is now today, it's not possible if you don't, A, have a sport where the fighters have a modest familiarity with boxing, but they're by no means specialists, particularly in the case of Ben Askren, and even to a case extent with Tyron Woodley, and also if they're not underpaid. I'm certain that with the paycheck that Tyron is getting, plenty of other fighters, even if it were not a case of being underpaid, would still sign up. But the fact that he has essentially everyone in the sport currently under contract, currently not under contract, calling him out, it's this perfect storm of guys who can kind of box but not really, who are athletes but kind of old, who also need a lot of money. It is serving him up in the most obvious way. And Dana White and larger power players in MMA, not just him, there's a lot of people. It's not possible if MMA isn't operating the way that it
is. That's interesting to take that stance, which at first feels like, oh, no. But then when you really look at it...
Who would he be fighting if MMA fighters were off the table?
So this is what he's getting from MMA. First of all, the opponent pool.
Yep.
And then second of all, the coverage of mainstream MMA, which is very hot.
Dude, and Tyron Woodley knows how to promote a fight. You have these guys who are completely familiar with the fight game.
Well, that's why,
who don't know how to box.
That's why if we're talking about what's the UFC's care or interest level in this fight or what angle would they be taking. I don't think it's about the whole idea that the MMA guys are cashing out at the end in these sort of situations, giving up their soul. I think it's more about, do they believe Jake Paul's for real to want to somehow partner with him to provide higher edge opponents? And also, are they thinking, you know, I wonder if he could, would he do something under our banner as well?
If you're Dana White, what did he do with Kimbo Slice? He talked a gang of shit about him, co-opted him. What did he do about Brock Lesnar? Ask Josh Gross what he said. Talked a gang of shit about him and then co-opted him. The smart move at this point, if you're Dana White or anyone else, it's not to fight Jake Paul, it's to co-opt him.
Notice Dana White never talk shit about the cliffs of YMA. Never even.
He didn't want that.
Never even looks back in that direction. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah.
Hey, could our producer be more on his phone? I wonder.
Wow. Wow. See, that had become a theme this week that maybe I was too emotionally needy. Luke, you told me I was too needy.
He's busy doing stuff. He also, our producer for the show, also is heavily involved in All Access and many other things. I just like teasing you, okay?
Yeah, he has nothing. Yeah.
You're the caller. I'm Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah. First time. Love you long time. Yes. Okay. Luke, this comes down to a prediction.
Okay.
It comes down to who's going to win this. Okay. The odds are close. You got value both ways. I think either guy could win by knockout. I think if you told me in advance that this 190-pound catchweight fight, which is essentially a cruiserweight fight, but far below the limit, 8 rounds, if it went the distance, who would I fight? I think it favors Woodley, if you told me in advance that it's going the distance.
That's interesting.
But I think your sort of way of packaging it, the idea that the bottom could fall out at any point, both guys could get exhausted, one guy could get hurt, you know, by a punch that completely changes it, and it kind of just turns into more of a fight because they're less trained in this regard. The more it becomes a fight, this is Jake Paul's fight. All the intangibles suddenly, I think, lean to him in that regard. I think Woodley will have more advantages than we realize once they touch gloves and you see the difference in boxing. But I think if Jake's a little bit bigger and stronger and might have more power, we're not sure. Tyron Woodley had great power for MMA welterweight. But I think the size, the youth, and it certainly means more for Jake to win right now. He gets it. He gets the business side and where they're going and what they can do. And I'm sure... You know, when the cameras are turned off, he also gets his own limitations, Luke. He's got to be crazy enough to believe in himself to be the face of this. But I'm sure he's very strategic in that regard and knows his limitations. But the strengths rely on him making this fight a war. And I think that size and the balls will mix with the age. And I think he gets Tyron Woodley out of there. The question for me is, will Jake have to get up off the canvas? Will he have to face legitimate adversity? Will the terms of the fight have been shifted back and forth a few times? I think it eventually gets batshit crazy. I don't know how we get there, though. But I think once it does, Jake Paul wins by knockout.
it's probably fair. What I can't overstate it enough. There's a huge degree of what appears to be unpredictability. Just variables, we don't know what they are, and we don't know exactly how they measure up, and whether or not they'll even be a role. I mean, some of these things that we don't know may not even be relevant. What does Tyron Woodley look like in the seventh round? Who cares if we get it done in two? I'm going to pick Jake Paul, I think, for two reasons. One, well, more than that, but the biggest ones would be, I think his team picked Tyron Woodley for a reason. I think they like their chances against him, and they're probably scouted him pretty well. That's one. I think Jake Paul, a lot of people who reach out to me who don't like Jake Paul, they express some kind of sentiment that he must be some kind of fraud. Well, if you're asking him to be championship, high-level, elite pro, yes, he's nothing even approximating that. But is he probably a lot better than what his skeptics or critics imagine him to be? Yeah, man, there's a few MMA fighters I've talked to behind the scenes that were talking about him tuning up some people that they were very surprised by. I think he keeps his cards about his actual ability close to the vest, from what we can tell anyway. So for those reasons, I tend to think this is not exactly a setup, because there is an element of danger there, which we've articulated, I think, to the best of our abilities. But the smart money is probably on Jake Paul to win. I do think, though.
That was the longest and softest way to get to a prediction
I've ever heard. Because it's such a weird... Dude, this is a weird-ass fight. You can like it or you can hate it. It's fucking weird. It's fucking weird.
Same thing about the identity of this city.
Yeah.
Really, you know?
So I just want to say, I'm gonna formally pick Jake Paul to win. That's fine. There is a part of me that feels like we've just not given
Tyron Woodley. You want to get the hedge clips out?
The hedge clips. I just feel like the idea to me that Jake Paul's going to walk in there and do what he did to Ben Askren, he's going to do to Tyron Woodley, that seems far-fetched. And so how much better will it be for Tyron? I think that's what I wrestle with.
Okay. You wrestle with other demons as well, Luke. Before we get quickly into this undercard, I want to ask you about what's next. Rashad Evans, by the way, who does the show, the UFC Hall of Famer.
He got no soul.
He remember on the show when he came out and said, Jake Paul's hit list? First of all, if we're talking about the future, we're talking about, you know, Rashad Evans. You know, why is Jake Paul ducking him? We had some fun with it. We made it into a social clip, blah, blah, blah. But one of our brethren in this game, you know, Shock Majori.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He had a chance to talk with Jake Paul on his show, and he brought up one Sugar Rashad Evans. Let's see whether we...
Dude, you're doing Rashad dirty with this.
I'm not showing them a cheetah fight again. What are you talking about?
Let's see.
One name that I didn't see on your hit list, but I know he's been calling you out, former UFC light heavyweight champion Rashad Evans. Is that something that would ever interest you?
I don't even know if I'm familiar with him. Well, I think I know. Wait, was he a welterweight?
Light heavyweight. Beat Chuck Liddell.
Maybe.
But hey, that answers the question, doesn't it?
He's old, no?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. I don't see it happening. You know, it has to make sense on so many levels for me to fight somebody. And I want to increase the level of my competition after each fight. So if I take out, you know, this 5-time UFC champion, where do I go from there?
Wow.
Damn.
Wow.
You did him dirty.
Well, we got an echo.
Yeah, that echo is money. There you go.
It was like auto-tune. That was like Pennington James's songs, you know?
T-Pain. Yeah. T-Pain up in here.
What I was going to say is, I don't know what I was going to say. What were we talking about, Jake Paul?
Dude, he goes, he's old. No, I'm like, damn, Rashad's like younger than me. Fuck.
Yeah. Did we do Rashad dirty right there? I think we brought the truth back into this conversation. So Rashad, your move. Okay, but yo, Rashad, he dropped a hot doogie on you. Like, it was like that episode of Oz. Like, you know, I mean, it was just, yeah.
Do you remember when Brock Lesnar was asked about Chael on SportsCenter Live? And they're like, Chael Sonnen said blah, 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 all these, like, you know, incredibly disparaging things. And then he goes, I don't know who that is. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
I don't know if Brock was acting. I don't know if it was pro wrestling or not, but it did appear to be like either he did a great job acting or he 100% did not know who that was.
No, but that's perfect acting right there. Quickly, though, if you only know that Jake Paul wins this fight, who's next? Who's next in your heart of hearts?
I got to tell you, everything that is around here makes this out to be Jake Paul wins and then Tommy Fury wins, and we put those two together. I got to tell you, for me, I'm not going to say that. I almost feel like that. I don't know how to say this exactly without like sounding like a dick. Is that a step back for Jake Paul? If going from Tommy Fury is a much more established, and I would say even with the record of opponents that he's had, is a much more credentialed boxer. But he's not that credentialed yet. Certainly, this won't change that. This fight he has, which is, you know, tough guy, but that won't necessarily like, oh, all of a sudden everyone thinks he's now legit. Like, to me, it's like, dude, if you're escalating this, that's not an escalation.
See, I'm wondering, and you know, look, we got to see Tommy Fury on this pay-per-view main card against Anthony Taylor, the part-time MMA fighter, by the way, to really kind of figure that out. But I have the feeling or the fear that Fury will be a little bit too good, but they'll have that same fear of, you know, do people really know him on that same level? Is it worth the risk? But I give Jake Paul a lot of credit for sort of setting this up as the next chess move. And he kind of, you know, spilled the beans in a forceful way on purpose during the press conference to try to rub it in Tyron's face and say, yeah, I am looking through you. You know, I'm already setting up my next fight. I do think, especially if they brought that to the UK, that it would be massive. It would be
I don't deny that.
Its own category of way because of the social relevancy. But it's going to be interesting to see if a Tyron Woodley victory happens in an exciting fight. Do we see a rematch?
Probably.
Interesting.
If Jake Paul does well enough to think that, okay, I made an error that cost me or a series of errors that cost me, but this was winnable. Like if he drops Tyron a couple of times but then eats a huge punch, you know, do you want the rematch there? I suspect that he would. But if he gets tuned up from pillar to post, no, I don't. I think, in fact, then he's in real trouble. You know, there's not – Tyron, you know, if he wins, he might get a rematch or, who knows, some other kind of fight maybe. But there's not a lot of opportunity left for him to make money from this endeavor. Jake can probably squeeze out a fair amount more if things go well. But they have to really go well.
Who – below this main event will end up stealing the show. We know Amanda Serrano and the co-main has sort of tried to make that her mission statement. She'll defend two of her featherweight titles against Yami Mercado. It's Puerto Rico versus Mexico. Do you think we're talking about her in a non-main event sense after this card, or is it someone underneath?
I hope, but I tend to think that people, you know, Amanda doesn't talk with a lot. She doesn't have a brash personality. She's just a workhorse. And to me, you see her on the left here of the screen, she's just incredibly talented. I can't wait for people to see how good she is. And she's fun to watch. But she doesn't have, and she at least, I don't know if she, let me say this, I don't know if she doesn't have one. She does not display one to boxing media or media in general about having a dynamic personality. She may, in fact, have one, but
she's humble. She's very humble.
She's very humble. She just wants to be really good at boxing, and mission accomplished, she is. I tend to think Tommy Fury might, because I tend to think he's going to have a big knockout. He's got the name. Obviously, he looks like $1 million. Dubois might end up giving us something pretty special, but there's just been no heat for that fight.
Daniel Dubois, a minus 2,000 favorite over Joe Cusimano from Sicily. Giuseppe Dubois looking to really, he bounced back nicely, by the way, from the loss to Joe Joyce and that sort of, you know, crossroads unbeaten.
I wanted to ask him about the comments from, not Tony Bellew, but Billy Joe Saunders.
Yeah, I mean, he took a beating, unfortunately, did Dubois in the media and the fan reaction and all that, but they found out he had a crushed face. So he came back and he knocked out Bogdandinho and looked good. So this is an interesting debut in the U.S. for Dubois. I wonder if he could get the kind of win and continue to you know, climb the ladder where we're talking about him in that larger heavyweight title picture.
For sure.
You know, and add him as a potential player.
Montana Love is the hometown guy. Might get some
I think that fight's going to be fun. Montana Love, southpaw, 140-pounder, taking on former champion Ivan Baranchik, who is coming off the fight of the year in 2020, but the one in which he was brutally knocked out cold.
Viciously.
8 knockdowns in the fight, 4 for each. He got knocked out in the 5th by Jose Zepeda. You know, they got Pedro Diaz in the corner, who's also training Tyron Woodley. So you wonder, that shows you we got to clean up a little bit. But, you know, you are who they said you are, Dennis Green, right? When it gets hairy, Baranchik's going to brawl. So I wonder if it becomes that type of fight, or maybe Montana Love is looking to outbox this guy.
That's going to be a tough way to win. Ivan Baranchik, he is so fucking muscled up.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, on how he fits in
the clothes. He looked like a Bond villain at the press conference.
He really did. Or like the henchman that a Bond villain would hire. Yes. Fucking A. He is a mountain of a little man, and that's a tough fight for Love.
Who are you calling a little man? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, he's not a huge guy or anything.
Safe to his face, you know. All right, Luke, that's the pay-per-view Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, Showtime pay-per-view. Check that out. We've got some MMA this weekend, though, and Saturday night from Las Vegas. It's a UFC Fight Night card. And look, this main event, not getting the rub it deserves. This is a very good one. And it goes down in the featherweight division when Edson Barboza takes on red-hot, rising Georgian Giga Chikadze. I said that correctly, Luke.
It's not Giga?
I've been all over the map on that. I'm happy to nail that one, though. Our odds are minus 115 favorite Barboza. Minus 105 Chikadze, though. So that's a basic flip the coin. And it's old versus new in a lot of ways. But Barboza on a two-fight win streak. How much at 36? Is he a threat to the title in this division? How big of a fight is this for what's left of the great Edson Barboza?
Threat to the title, I don't think so. I don't think he can beat guys at the very, very top of this division, which, as we know, is not just talented, but young. Relatively speaking, and at 36, that's going to make him one of the older competitors there trying to make his way. Here's what I would say. Chikadze, you know, his last time he lost was on the Contender Series 3 years ago, something
He's,
like
what,
that.
He's, what, 6-0 since then?
Yeah, and here's the thing. Several of those fights, including the Brandon Davis fight, they were competitive, they were close, they were all a lot of decisions. It's the last two fights where you can tell he's really turned a corner.
Cub Swanson, baby.
The Cub Swanson one was big. And what you notice in the last two finishes, he was just much better about getting to offense right on time. His distance management was better. He just understood how to manage the fight. And he understood, what am I good at? Right? What am I good at? How do I maintain those conditions so I can bring those to life throughout the course of a fight? A lot of times he was kind of fighting on other guys' terms, and now he's making guys fight on his terms. And when he does, he is just phenomenal. I really like his maturation. That being said, dude, the firepower of somebody like Edson Barboza is extraordinary.
The betting odds are showing the respect to that firepower. I mean, it's rare to move down in weight late in a career. That's why what Jose Aldo's doing right now is just commendable to kind of get reborn at a smaller weight. It's harder to do, but if you can do it weight cut-wise, you can be a much bigger puncher and striker. And the respect still shown for what Barboza can still do in there, which is end the fight at any time. Do you think this fight, though, from like a deeper war room marketing potential, is the setup for Chikadze to be something? I mean, this would be a dynamic ass win on his resume, coming right off that body kick knockout to Cub Swanson. I mean, it would be a big deal. But do they see somebody who could be the title contender in this division?
Between these two?
No, on the Chikadze side.
I think he's got a lot of work. He would have a lot to. I mean, we're still talking about guys who are ranked. I just looked it up, 9 and 10. You know, even with a win here, you still have several fights in front of you, unless you were just a huge personality, which in this case, they're tremendous fighters.
I'm saying, does he get the push? In the post-Habib retirement, everyone's realizing, from Scott Coker to anybody, that of the, you know, the studs coming out of the Smash Factory in the variations of it. I wonder if they're looking at, you know, 7 in a row and you beat Barboza. I wonder if this is the guy they're looking at. That's all I'm saying, Luke. Okay, I'm looking at him.
That's fine. I tend to think that they're not necessarily getting looked at that way, but they are getting looked at as people who are. They need to know what place they're going to occupy inside the top 10, probably inside the top 5. I just think the one thing that's interesting we need to talk about in this fight in terms of the X's and O's real quickly is that if you look at a lot of Chikadze's fights, you can imagine what opponents want to do. They want to do the same thing that a lot of Barboza's opponents want to do, which is close the distance, back him up, and then kind of corner him to make him fight inside boxing range. Now, Chikadze has actually pretty good boxing, but, you know, kickboxing is really what his bread and butter is. You know, it's going to be interesting because Barboza doesn't do that. So I actually feel like you might see Chikadze either try some of that or more likely duel in the center a la Paul Felder style. And I wonder if the hands of, along obviously with the rest of the game, that Chikadze brings. Burgos was a little bit, not one note, but he was much more of a puncher than a kicker. Obviously, Chikadze is a little bit the opposite, but I think has a little bit more of a well-balanced mix between the two. And I wonder if that might play a role.
It's still nasty. This is going to be fun. This is very good matchmaking. I want to believe that Barboza can still rise, that Brazil can rise again, Luke, okay? I mean, you know, the Baron's not coming around that corner. All right, Betch Correa, you betcha. She's not coming through that door, okay? We need heroes in Brazil. There's still time, Edson. Who's your pick? Your pick, Luke.
Oh, for the fight? I'll go Chikadze.
You put a lot of conviction into that. That was a lot of preparation.
Dude, you want to come out and you make every pick like Sermon on the Mount. None of them are like that.
Luke, I'm an entertainer, first of all.
Yeah, I know that.
Factory born.
You're not factory born. You were not born in a factory.
You and I are not watching or have not watched the Ultimate Fighter season. We need Aaron Bronstetter on to break that shit down. So no Ricky Tercios breakdowns, although all of these guys will be will be fighting here. When I sift through the tough stuff, though, there is a fight on this main card, Luke, that is jumping through the screen at me for my likes and loves when I'm talking about future UFC champion Kevin Lee. A welterweight duel in the making against Daniel Rodriguez, who lets that shit go, Luke. Fresh D-Rod. Off the back of the skull tat, I'm going to believe Kevin Lee's coming there. You know, come on, right? I believe he's coming, Luke. Daniel Rodriguez is tough as shit, dude. This is going to be a thriller. But is this going to be another one of those where we're like, man, Lee had big moments, but he couldn't.
Daniel Rodriguez is a tough fight. This was originally supposed to be Sean Brady, and then Sean got injured, and the whole thing got messed up. And then so they had D-Rod filling relatively late. But, dude, that guy is surprisingly – I mean, he's good. He's durable. He's smart. He makes good choices.
How about the tack game?
Not my style.
It's aggressive. It's aggressive.
Not my style. But they're mostly pretty well done. A lot of black and gray work. But that's pretty well done details. But the point being is, dude, he's a very, very talented fighter, and he's patient. He doesn't buckle under pressure. There's been times where he's been hurt, and he's found ways to soldier on. This is. Kevin Lee, you know, listen, he's been out for folks forget this. His last fight was against Charles Oliveira. That was the fight that UFC had gone to Brazil and did no COVID testing. It was like right at the beginning.
Yes.
Remember that? All the sports world was canceled, and UFC was like, I don't know what COVID is. And they went and had the show in Brazil. And, you know, we ended up finding out that Charles Oliveira would later on become champion. So, like, while that loss should count against Kevin Lee, and it does, still you wonder about – we've been the Kevin Lee future champion tag team for a long time, and I don't know if that's going to happen, but I do think that, like, have you seen the best of Kevin Lee? I don't believe that you have.
The problem is he's still giving us teases. That Gregor Gillespie head kick knockout and walk off was
amazing.
Like,
it was amazing.
Was like, oh shit, bro.
Yeah.
His tattoo on the back of his head is aggressive, Luke. So will that change him in the cage? This could be interesting. This fight's going to be a war, and big stakes for both. That'd be a big win for Daniel Rodriguez. So -155, Kevin Lee, your favorite. Rodriguez +130. Luke, is there anything else that's screaming for you? I know anytime Sam Alvey's going to be a +110 underdog against Wellington Turman, you are front row for that.
Yeah, I don't care about that at all. I will say, obviously, the Kevin Lee and Daniel Rodriguez fight is the biggest one on here. We did not watch
Dick Rico's fighting, dude.
You can call him that. The guy doesn't want to talk to the media. He's fighting Abdul Razak El Hassan out of Stephen the Warman's camp, and Alessio Di Carrico, who I had kind of not thought was all that great, had a great last win. Obviously, didn't want to talk about it with the media for whatever reason. Also, Dustin Jacoby is on this card against Darren the Dentist Stewart. The original dentist was Josh Neer, but it's a great nickname. Dustin Jacoby had a UFC run, didn't go well, went into kickboxing and the whole nine yards. Just got a lot better. He's had a couple of dicey moments since his return to the UFC, but has looked significantly improved. Two strikers. That should be a lot of fun as well.
Dick Rico, I respect the game, Luke. He has the same type of convictions that you have, that you're like, I don't care if this is wrong, but it feels so right to be this angry and one-sided in this debate. I thought you it's like a Spider-Man meme. You guys get the energy that you both put out there. Mm. It's a fun fight or two.
Yes, that's true.
All right. That's not the only MMA of the weekend. Tonight, Friday night, PFL's back. And PFL, they've been bringing it. Let's be honest. We're right in the midst of the playoffs. PFL 9, I believe, is the number of this one. It goes down in Hollywood, Florida.
It's a very glamorous name.
It doesn't have...
No, this is the ninth one of these fucking things we've got.
This one doesn't have the same star power as the last one with Kayla Harrison or Rory McDonald before that. But we're going to see featherweights and we're going to see light heavyweights, both the men's side, both the semifinals, the main event. Brandon Lahkonen, who, to remind folks, is the guy who went for the takedown on the Dana White series and didn't get the contract because of that, even though he won. He's been on fire. I mean, we talk about the year Clay Collard had out of nowhere. How about Brandon Lahkonen? He's taking on Movlid Khabibulayev, who is 17-0, Luke. Mm-hmm. Fresh off a win over Lance Palmer. Mm-hmm. So this semifinal for featherweights, it doesn't have huge name recognition, but it could be a good one.
These are excellent, excellent featherweights. Movlid Khabibulayev or Khabibulayev, yes, I can never say it quite correctly.
Hobby Lobby is acceptable, too.
Hobby Lobby is actually not acceptable. He is a guy... Hey, could you drink that louder? Jesus Christ. Are you showering under that fucking thing?
Wow.
What I was going to say is I have a feeling he's going to be a – I was texting with a buddy of mine who is at that show – a bit of a wet blanket on this one, so it's really going to be up to Lochnan to find a way to his feet, create distance, and get the offense going outside of the wrestling game in all likelihood. He is very talented. I think he can do that, but certainly that's going to be a bit of a tall hill to climb.
All right. Interesting.
Chris Wade versus Bubba Jenkins, by the way, should be interesting. Bubba Jenkins was left for – this was a guy out of Arizona State, national champion. He was a big wrestler out of Penn State, had a falling out with their team there, transfers to Arizona State, wins the national title. Could not have been a hotter prospect coming into MMA, like right out of a Division I national champion, and had some nice wins, but kind of had a bunch of bad losses. And I think folks forgot about him. And dude, this tournament has been somewhat of a resurrection for him. He has looked very good up to this point. And you beat Chris Wade, man, you're right back in the thick of things. So Bubba Jenkins, a bit of a – this is what I mean about leaving guys on the side of the road in MMA. It's very, very foolish to do that. So we will see what happens.
Jenkins fresh off of decision wins over Lance Palmer and Bobby Moffitt. So he's running hot and hard at this moment. And Luke, on the light heavyweight side, both semifinal bouts, Screwface.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Screwface twins.
You mean Shoeface.
Shoeface. Antonio Carlos Jr. of Brazil.
Dude, do people find these jokes you do funny? Because no one in here is laughing.
Wow, that's not a no-sell. That's a monster.
Hey, everybody, why
push.
Did the chicken cross the road?
Oh, wow. You're stuttering abroad, Luke? I hope you marry her, right?
Oof.
Oh, boy. Okay. Screwface against Emiliano Sordi, which actually is a pretty good fight. And then the other side of the bracket, Cesar Fajeda against Martin Hamlet. Luke, again, outside of Shoeface, not a ton of name value, but if you've been watching this season, this light heavyweight bracket seems up for grabs. Have you been watching this season? Do you care about
I've been
this?
On vacation, so I missed the last couple of these. But yeah, the light heavyweight tournament to me is a little bit less interesting, but it's the featherweight one that I think is quite good.
Okay, you have any Kayla Harrison follow-up thoughts on whether this will be her last PFL tournament or not?
Probably. I don't think there's any way she stays. I don't know where she goes because there is the Cyborg fight in Bellator or there's the Nunes fight in UFC. Probably UFC because she can get a bigger paycheck, but we'll see.
All right. That's very succinct out of you, Luke. I like that. Let's keep the ship rolling here.
Cristiano's joining Man United. Fabricio Romano has reported it. It's official.
Chad Johnson, Luke, more of a Napoli fan, it turned out.
Who? Oh, yeah. Ocho Cinco?
Yeah.
I think he just made that up. Dude, he's a huge Real Madrid fan.
He no-sold your fandom, like pretty big, right?
No, because he didn't want me to, like, start quizzing him and shit. You know, that's what he was a little bit afraid I was going to, like, audit him.
Yeah. Yo, I had shaken him up in that press conference right before that, though. I think that's why.
When you were like, yo, you're going to get knocked the fuck out, ho. What you think about that, ho?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of boxing, Luke.
A little bit of an aggressive question.
While you were sleeping, while you took a two-week vacation in 2021, Manny Pacquiao came back and lost to you, Dennis Ugas, last weekend.
Are we talking
weekend.
About this again?
But the story here is, I don't care about your reaction anymore. We did that in yesterday's episode. The story is what's come out of this loss from a Manny Pacquiao standpoint of what's next. He gave a few interviews in the last 48 hours, and here's what Pacquiao said. I'm thinking I want that rematch with your Dennis Ugas. Pacquiao specifically was quoted in saying that he thought style-wise that Ugas was the easiest opponent he's ever fought, and he feels like it's a fight he should have won except for the tired legs and the cramps and the, you know, the last-minute opponent switch. Luke, to me, this plays very heavy into Rafe Bartholomew's theory about how important for Manny's potential presidential political hopes in the Philippines next year that him coming off a win could be in terms of winning and swaying public favor. I think if you believe in that, that's why he was so aggressive in wanting to fight Spence, because it was a fight in which he was the underdog that people thought he couldn't win. Well, he just lost to this guy by big upset, running back a rematch and winning it right back. That's some like old Muhammad Ali against Leon Spink shit. Like that gets people fired up. Do you feel like this is a smart move, B, a political move, C, we're gonna see this again in like January?
I hope not, because that sounds real boring to me. Don't have any interest in a rematch at all. He might have one for the various purposes that Rafe articulated that I can understand, and there might be business behind it, because is it entirely inconceivable that Pacquiao, even at 42 and losing the way he did the first time, couldn't win again? No, it is not inconceivable, but I think it'll be a lot closer, and then Ugas will still win, and we'll have just wasted our time more. Boxing, the king of the door prizes you never asked for.
I thought that was the most shocking result.
Like, hey, you thought we were going to get Pacquiao-Spence? We got Pacquiao versus Ugas twice, motherfucker.
I'm not saying
that's
I want
boxing,
it.
That's boxing right
there. I'm not saying I want it. I'm just saying that of all the what's next Pacquiao talk, you could have told me retirement. You could have told me president of the Philippines. You could have told me he'll fight again in a year and a half. You could have told me he knocks out Amir Khan in 5 months. Him, you telling me he wants the Ugas rematch would have been low on that list, but I wonder. Ugas heard what he said and tweeted a response. Many people write to me. They ask me about Pacquiao's statements that I've been one of the easiest rivals of his career. The only thing I can say is that he goes to his house in peace. He recovers, and that I respect him for being one of the best boxers in history. Yo, Ugas, don't, like, he just rolled right over, right?
That's his style.
Yo, call that shit out, right?
Your charm has worn thin.
All right. Luke, our final topic is also in boxing. While you were away, we're finally going to get Teofimo Lopez Jr. in that very expensive Triller purse bid mandatory title defense at lightweight.
What a fucking abortion this has been.
Against George Kambosos Jr., the unbeaten Australian. They were going to put this in Australia, then the Middle East, then there were potential lawsuits. I mean, this has been...
Yo, we're going to put this fight on the fucking moon, and we ain't even going to tell you when it's going to happen.
This has been a...
Now it's... correct me if I'm wrong, because you told me this before. I knew it was pay-per-view for 1999. I did not know this. It's now on Tuesday night.
It's now going to be on Tuesday night in November for a $20 pay-per-view, $19.99 they're going to do.
I mean, could that fight have been more mismanaged? I don't know.
This is like when those really gaudy brand new music speakers come out and you're like, oh man, could they really be good when they look that ridiculous? Looks like a statue or something. And it's like price tag of like $7,000. You're just like, oh my God, I wonder what that's like. And then like 6 months later, that shit's on sale.
And they're
like,
still on the hook. They got to pay Teofimo like close to what? $6.3 million.
And then they get back to the store and the speakers are just like marked down to like $100, you know?
Like, dude, I mean, Triller could not have managed this.
So the news here, Luke, yeah, look, it's been a debacle and nobody even wants this fight. So when you're going to purse bid for a mandatory that nobody wants, you know, the hook of the news today, Luke, is that the IBF is mandating through the New York State Athletic Commission here that for this fight, all fighters need to be vaccinated. And remember, this fight got delayed when Teofimo Lopez tested positive for COVID.
Now, wait, you said the commission or the IBF? The IBF.
Looks like the IBF.
So the sanctioning body here.
Yep. And they've gone through the commission to enforce this, but they are mandating this. Since you have a very high and mighty soapboxed Dr. Fauci
position.
Dude,
you're so irresponsible with this when you say shit like that. You know you're being irresponsible when you say shit like that.
I'm playing both sides, Luke.
Yeah.
I'm a fair journalist.
Which you should, because there aren't two sides.
I'm a fair journalist. I'm a proper, as the English would say, I'm a proper journalist.
No, you just told me you were an entertainer first.
Normally, depending on your opinion of what entertainment is. Either way, Luke, you care about this. This is a good step forward. Boxers gotta take that prick if they wanna move that stick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess it's a little weird, right? That it's coming from the sanctioning body.
Yeah.
Why would they be? Help me understand. Give me the incentive structure here. Why would they be so concerned about the guys being vaccinated? I understand. Yes, if you're vaccinated, there's less of a chance of catching the virus and it killing you and all that kind of stuff. But forget about that. Like, are they losing a bunch of money because fights are falling through due to COVID?
I mean, it's not good for business that fights fall apart after you spend that money promoting it. You know,
do they get hit the hardest? Like, why would they be so?
I get what you're saying. I wonder if their stance is like,
it's a little aggressive,
fueled,
right,
by somebody else's interest.
I
okay,
see. Okay,
all right,
because yeah,
that never happens in boxing, especially with the sanctioning bodies.
Yeah.
You know, you never see some guy who's only fought in Nicaragua and I've never heard of him. Oh, he's the number one contender for the WBC title. You're like, what?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, what do I think about? I mean, I hope that they get vaccinated. I do hope the fight happens, in part because Teofimo's owed a giant purse for this. And I think, you know, obviously with the vaccinations, all the math tells us they'll probably be just fine and we can move on. But it is a little strange to me that the sanctioning body is the one doing that. It's just odd to me, but whatever.
As odd as a Tuesday night pay-per-view, Luke. Okay.
Dude, I remember when Triller, like after the Ben Askren and Jake Paul fight, when they were at least getting a lot of attention, there were definitely people inside media being like, dude, the Triller takeover is happening. Are you out of your fucking mind?
I think the media people you're talking about also had jobs with Triller.
They might have. But it's like, dude, are you out of your fucking mind? These people are clearly out of their depth. And they're spending money that they don't have.
Well, let me ask you this.
For shit they can't pull off.
The purse bid was just assigned by the WBO for Terrence Crawford and Sean Porter. There's a deadline. There's a date. It's going to happen. Yeah. Do you think Triller jumps in there and tries to steal that for like one good party?
Are you asking me, will they make more irresponsible decisions? Yeah, they might. They might. They certainly might.
What's the root of their money again? Where does that come from?
It's an app that's supposed to be a competitor to TikTok. And it does have a decent, if somewhat, not somewhat.
Okay, but do they have money... Because of the success of that app, or are they coming with money from somewhere else?
No, that's what they do. That's their money. There might be some ancillary money that comes from this like Triller versus thing that they've now lined up. But in general, all of their money is from their TikTok competitor app, which they pay a lot of influencers to be on. They barely use, and they have repeatedly been found to exaggerate their numbers. I'm not making it up. TechCrunch has done a huge expose on this. It is well used. It's not some kind of a completely made up thing, but it's got, my understanding is TikTok has a huge lead on it, like the kind that it can't, like Bellator to UFC kind of a thing. And so people use it, but it's like this is where your money comes from. Okay.
Yeah. This is really interesting. Triller's not the first promotional outfit or entity to try to mix music with boxing. I mean, we've seen it done poorly in the past, really poorly. But do you think the rap battle, having it as the main event right after some boxing, do you think that works, though?
No.
It doesn't
work at all.
Not even in certain communities?
No. It can work for... If it can work for donk boxing, like if you're not having Teofimo in a mandatory, it could probably work just fine. But like I remember when I watched the Affliction show, you can go look at my Bloody Elbow reporting from those days.
Don't do it.
You can. I live blogged that show, and then we're in the middle of fights, and out of nowhere, they're like, hey, here's Megadeth. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck about watching old-ass Dave Mustaine.
Yeah. Somebody put on some... Is anyone going to kill children in the show? You know?
Well, right? No. I don't want to see any. I don't want to see my bands. I want to see a fucking fight night that I paid for. And sure enough, it was insanely costly to do. They couldn't pull it off again. They spent money they did not have. And then the whole shit went kaput, you know, after a couple shows.
And suddenly the Black Keys are there, you know?
Just getting paid stupid money to do things that they shouldn't do. But okay.
You ever been at a really bad concert and you're like, why couldn't have this been in a Rhode Island nightclub? I mean, it's a dark way of looking at the world. Wow. All right. Hey, Luke, let's get away from that.
Why couldn't I have been killed and trapped in a fire?
That would be, you know, I take that back to all the victims. So that's dead wrong.
I mean, the day after a bombing, you're like, hey, let's make jokes about people dying in fires.
The thing is, though, if you put a microphone in front of me long enough, as they did during your vacation, I'll have a few missteps. So luckily, morningcombat@gmail.com is the email address, is the label that you can jump into to complain. And make sure you put a timestamp in that. Make sure you back up your work, bitch. And it's time for that segment. It's called Dead Wrong.
I want to point out that Man United has formally welcomed Cristiano back. The tweet is less than 10 minutes old, and it already has 113,000 quote tweets and 207,000 retweets.
Yo, that guy's 36, though.
Yeah, but you know, he takes good care of his body.
All right, what do you got for me? What Mikey didn't even want to run this segment today because it was too many BC errors in here. Well, what
don't
do you want?
Have an email?
I mean, when I'm holding the shit up, okay? Yeah, I do have that. I do have that there. So, just bear with me, all right?
Do we have the list, Gaff?
Okay, dead wrong. It starts off like this. Hey, Luke in BC, it's MC here checking in from the UK. Day one, P1. Wow. Thanks for all the content. You guys do an awesome job. And BC, the way you arted your way through that solo intro.
Okay, you can skip the fucking
blowjob.
To
Monday's show was inspiring. Master at the peak of his powers. However, there was a little dead wrong in there too. At 7:55, you dropped some Eminem lyrics. And instead of saying, do not miss your chance to blow, you said, do not miss your chance to go. That was it. It didn't really bother me. I love you all the same. I just wanted to come on and get involved. And,
I've definitely seen you blow a few times.
I did blow that lyric live, and I regretted it in the moment that I
I missed that. But
I want you to point out our producer. He hates it.
He doesn't care. I always said the day that I could get 90% of his attention on us in terms of his like daily, weekly workload.
It's not today.
If we had that, this show could, I mean, it could go. You know what I'm saying?
He's treating this show. You ever been dragged to church? And you're like, I don't want to fucking be here. I just want to look at porn on my phone. That's it.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. You're like, Sean Kemp was more there for his children than Matt Snyder is for us, right?
Oh God, Jesus.
I mean, that's not fair. That's not fair.
We're less his children and more like Michael Vick's dogs. I mean, I think it's more.
No, that's too far. All right. Speaking of things we'll later regret, Jose sliding in. Hey, Donks. Jose Afonso here once again with a dead wrong. On last Wednesday's show, BC said that Gastelum versus Whitaker was only 3 rounds, when in fact it was a 5-round war.
Yes, it was.
It's a small mistake, but still a dead wrong one. Also, I would like to mention that when BC was saying that there's no such thing as Canadian food, true, he said that a poutinerie is a place, or a poutinerie is a place that Robert Kraft would go to. And you are dead right, BC. Look, you're hearing this shit?
Oh, I did not know this.
In fact, if you come to Brazil and you say you want to go to a Putiero. That sounds like you would live the Bob Kraft experience. Much love from your biggest fan in Brazil, the land of beautiful people and broken English. And I hope you're all having a great Friday. Stay frosty. I don't get the Robert Kraft thing here.
I guess if you want to go get a...
then that's where you... Yeah. Okay. All right. Orchids of Combat. There you go. Okay. Sean Slidin said about 45 minutes into episode 191, BC couldn't... And I'm sorry to the PFL lead commentator, the play-by-play guy, because I never remember his name. They said...
he's good, too. He fucking won that
he's
tournament.
He's really good at his job, dude.
This is a true story about Sean O'Connell. He was so good doing MMA commentary and like analysis on SiriusXM that they gave him a shot to do other sports, and he became like their Pac-12 guy. Like, he's the guy at SiriusXM for that.
Dude, he's really good, and I not only couldn't remember his name last show, I called him Jason something. So the commentator's name is Sean O'Connell. Love the show.
Sean O'Connell.
Sean O'Connell is what I just said.
O'Connell.
I had like a seizure during that. Okay. Wow. I've been on the microphone way too much. I think half of our viewers would agree with that. Also, Steve says, on Monday, August 9th, at 1:19, Luke said Messi made $600 million from the club, and that doesn't include Nike money. When in reality, Messi is sponsored by Adidas. He signed a lifetime contract with them. Luke, you're dead wrong, motherfucker.
I am dead wrong.
Okay.
I'll take that L.
And finally, many people slid in with this. Greg, Ahmed, Derek. Greetings, Luke and Brian. A little unorthodox of a dead wrong here.
Okay.
But it was funny to hear Luke, who's so used to addressing BC every episode, calling Rashad BC at around the 39-minute mark.
I did do that. I called BC like 10 times.
I have to admit, it is slightly distracting how often you both call each other by your names. Albeit none of us are perfect, and I absolutely love the show.
I can't believe people get mad about this.
Well, Luke, because there's a reason. When I do it, when you do it, you're just abusive with the term BC. In fact, I was never actually called BC before this show, only because of your abuse for it, which is fine by me.
Are you under the impression that...
But it pisses people off. I only say Luke all the time because I lose you during the...
Oh, fuck
during
off.
Like, basically, as soon as I get into like
and you think, and
ISO
you think,
camo mode.
And you
know?
Think saying my name brings me back? No, yeah, you do it because you do it the same reason I do.
It's an old school broadcasting trick. It's keep your audience engaged, okay?
It's about the two way.
That's why British people always end a sentence with, right? Isn't that? Isn't it? You know? It's always like, you know, they're getting people involved, you know? So, Luke, I'll lose you at any point instantly.
Yes, when you talk, it is boring. I agree.
So dead wrong? That's why, okay? It's a defense mechanism, all right?
Oh.
Some of us just want to be heard and, yeah.
Someone said instead of those faces on your shirt, it should have been a bunch of dicks. Did I tell you I accidentally ended up in a gay bar? This is true. I'll tell the story. I don't care. A buddy of mine is moving back to DC from Switzerland, but he still has to go back for 6 more months. So he's like, hey, it's going to be my last day before I move back. Do you want to go for happy hour? I was like, cool, let's go to happy hour. But he hasn't been in the city in 2 years. So he was like, you pick the spot. So we went to a spot, and sure enough, it was closed by COVID. It's on 14th Street, and which is a nice area typically when there's not a shooting. But 14th Northwest. Anyway, so we were walking down the street, and we found this bar. It was completely empty. I'd never heard of it, and there was no indication automatically that it was a gay bar. It was like literally empty. And we go in there, and everything was fine.
Oh, you're trying to say they're not shooting in there?
I'm sorry, what? Shooting?
Sorry, if I've got to break down the joke for you, Luke.
Don't get us fired with a dumb joke. Everything on that.
Isn't that the edge, though?
It's a funny story. Let me just finish it without your 50,000 interruptions. Very quickly. So we just order our drinks. We have a round. Everything was there, blah, blah, blah. Until finally my friend was like, I'm going to piss. Let me be right back. He comes back. He's like, we're definitely in a gay bar. I'm like, how would you know? There's less people here than it would be for the show. He's like, just go to the bathroom. And I go to the bathroom, and all over the walls are just 1,000 dicks from like gay porn magazines, old ones, that had just been pasted to the wall. I'm like, yes, okay, we stayed for another round because it was quiet and nice. But yeah, there was dicks all over the wall, much like your room in high school.
Wow. For whatever we had, Luke, it's gone, okay? I mean, it's gone, all right? Let's.
Hey, I wandered into a game. Wow. What are you going to do?
Let's end it on tips here. This is every Friday. If we have advice, if we have encouragement, if we have hey, check this out. We put it in this segment where we share a little love with you, with the community, okay? It's called Tip to Tip, or Just the Tip, or something like
we
that.
We never know what this is actually called.
It's usually like watch this awesome show or, you know, listen to this amazing 70s fusion band. But Luke, this week, do you, besides F Cleveland, do you have an official tip to share with
you? Yeah, I'll have two of them. I'll do the one I had officially done because we have the lower thirds for it, and then I'll give you a quick one here. The first one is, very quickly, I said it yesterday on the show, if you've not done it, listen, I don't care whether you're vaxxed or unvaxxed for this. If you are traveling anywhere and they ask you to buy ticket insurance, Do it. Because if you get sick and you can show them the positive test and you have the insurance, most places, including most airlines, will refund you all of your money. I'm usually the one that's ignored them. Oh, $9 for ticket. I just ignore it. Don't do that. Get the insurance. It will save you potentially hundreds, if not thousands of dollars in the right circumstance. That's the first one I would say. The second one is I have the best phone cover. Look at that son
of
a bitch.
It's hard to argue against that. That shit is crazy. I mean, I know I'm rocking a level of luxury. Yeah,
let's compare. Let's compare
and comfort and stylings here.
Look at this shit. And tell me who has the better phone case.
This is a Kate Spade case, as most of us know, but it's in the victory colors. I mean, look, you know the trunks befitting of the champion in the UFC, Luke?
Yes.
They're black with gold.
Okay. Well, mine is Schwarzenegger,
so this is a champion,
sending a hellfire missile up a terrorist's ass.
This is a championship phone cover right
now. All right, so if you want to get this, they're $9. You can go to just Google Schwarzenegger store. It'll pop up, $9. I got mine in about a week. They're good for all kind of iPhones and shit. And go get one.
How much for him to knock up my maid?
He'll do that shit for free.
Oh, wow. All right. My tip of the week, as long as you're through, Luke.
I'm done.
You know, this may be natural to other people, but unlike Luke Thomas, I don't put heat on my food. I'm an old bitch when it comes to spices or hotness in that regard. But, you know, I got inspired, Luke, because remember you did that review of Dustin Poirier's sauce. His folks hooked me up with the samples of the KO edition. So mm-hmm. You had the original Dustin Poirier, and now you got that KO knockout ghost pepper shit. Now, have you tried that?
The KO edition?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Well, we should do that during Room Service Diaries. We should just go at
it. Yes, we should.
Okay. So I'm starting to try to toughen up for this because I want, you know, Luke, I watch Hot Ones. You watch Hot Ones, right?
I have. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just good shit. And I want to be able to do a little of that. But I have some really bad historical moments where it's like I'm biting into a wing and I didn't know it was even a little bit hot. And I'm like crying and there's like different fluids coming out of my body. But last night, Luke, we had a chill night. We probably put a couple away, right? We had a chill night.
I didn't have any beers last night.
And
I may have had some hashtag reefer.
Wow. And I got a little Uber Eats. So I got, you know, pad thai, which is the most, you know, generic thing you can buy.
That's what Americans order
exactly
when they go to Thailand.
But yeah. Do you know why? Because it's delicious. So I got the chicken pad thai. But because of the Uber Eats, you get so many options. You could add a dead body on top of your meal if you wanted.
You really could.
Keep adding more. It was, you know, do you want to adjust the heat level? So I went up to the medium level. okay? And you know what, bro? Eating that shit was like being on like psychedelic drugs. Like, it's a full body, mental, spiritual, endocrinastic experience.
Yeah, dude, eating hot food is awesome.
But you have to understand, I'm like, it's like kryptonite in the past to me. So it's like black licorice. Like, I could never go near that shit.
Dude, this is
that shit's the devil,
this
right?
This is the benefit of being around me. I am culturing you. You were uncivilized swine, and I have risen you out of the mud.
Why does it feel like I'm getting groomed, though? That's the thing, you know?
Wow. I will say this. We didn't plan this at all. I actually ordered from that same place. I didn't get the pad thai. I got the pad si gao. But
that's a good dish. So I'm saying, I'm not fucking around here.
I got very spicy. It was fucking great.
Yo, even at the medium level, like my mouth, my tongue, and half of my face was raw. And, you know, I may have been liquored up on the side that really just, you know, embellished the situation.
Did you booze last night?
I may have.
And
no, I didn't.
I didn't booze.
And yeah, I didn't booze at all either. So really, I mean, Luke, it's a fight. That's the difference, because it makes your meal an experience. Like, you know, everyone's like, yo, dinner's too boring when I go out. I got to go out to like the German restaurant with the giant mugs and they're singing and dancing. Like, people want an experience when they eat. You can have an out-of-body experience with the heat if it's just right.
You got the medium, dude. It's not that hot.
Yo, but for someone like me,
this is deep end of the pool. It's training wheels.
So I'm saying that was like, is it the kind of thing where like you get high the first time and it never feels like that again and you're just chasing that shit?
No, it will be true that a lot of people don't know how to make spicy food fun. That's true. But I will say, when you get the right pairing,
it's just the best. Is this like performance-enhancing drugs in your food? Because it turns a meal, which is normally based on conversation and enjoying the food and filling your body up and one with whatever you're one with. And it's just this, yeah, man, this turns it into a war, a raw, just like fit of, because you're so addicted to the back end of that tail, right?
The whole team here went for Mexican yesterday. What did I do when I ordered Mexican?
You were like, yo, put some jalapenos on that shit. And then they put like a flood of them.
I ate every single one of them. And then I ordered hot sauce on top of it.
Yeah, but look, your beard is multiple colors. You have no gallbladder. And you openly seek that out, right?
Yes, I have developed a tolerance over time where I don't get quite the same euphoria.
Spicy food, spicy women. Am I wrong?
That's absolutely correct.
Am I wrong? Okay.
I will say this. I think really, especially if you're of your situation where you're just now getting into it, dude, it's order spicy food, especially even like Asian cuisines and Indian cuisines.
Yo, I felt like Rashad when he licked the toad. I'm telling you, I had like.
Were you sweating?
It wasn't just sweating. I think I was outside of my body having a conversation with myself.
Dude, I had the, I've had the hottest one. I had the.
But do you know that out of body experience when it's hot?
Yeah. I one time had some like really, really hot at a very, very authentic place, some Chinese food. And I had, they had these chicken wings in New York City you can order. And that when you eat them, it numbs the entire inside of your mouth. It's so hot. That was a weird experience.
Remember when we were kids and we didn't have drugs when we were kids, but they gave us sit and spins. Remember that toy? It was a little like.
No, so, I've never done that.
It was a little one person like wheel to spin yourself around on. And you could get yourself like absurdly dizzy that you'd stand up and it'd be like you're on drugs and you're falling all over. The only problem with that toy, despite how horrific it probably is to your body, is that you'd be dizzy with headaches for like a long time after that.
Also, sit and spin was a 1980s, 1990s insult.
Oh, no doubt about it. My wife still says it to me, actually. But Luke, I feel like this was that without the headaches. So it's kind of like, you know how, like, if you switch over to edibles instead of drinking, you won't have the hangovers anymore.
I think the staff fell asleep.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, they did.
So that was the that was my tip. That's it.
Sweet.
All right. Yeah. Luke, you and I will be back Saturday. This is going to be an all-star cast hosting on the Showtime Sports social channels, the weigh-in for Jake Paul, Tyron Woodley. The fight, of course, Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. But on Saturday, Luke, it's going to be you and I. It's going to be the Barstool Brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Barstool Sports, Dave Portnoy, Big Cat, Ariel Helwani on the staff, Phoenix Carnaval in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else I'm forgetting? Oh, Logan Paul, excuse me, AJ McKee, who we had a nice chat with.
Mm-hmm.
So star-studded event. Tune in, and these two will be there.
Showtime Sports Channel. I don't know if they're going to simulcast it here, but we may take some of the interviews and put them
all
on here.
Of our stuff this week, the...
By the way, we're all over the All Access stuff on Showtime Sports. We're all over that
shit. So you can watch the episode of All Access, which was already out, which chronicles the build to this. But now there's All Access Dailies, which is I don't know if it's in our contract to be in that much, but there's really, it's almost like a Mortal Kombat documentary in some ways.
Well, they're putting effort into it, so in many ways, it's actually not.
Yeah. what I was going to say is all of our events this week have been simulcast on Jake Paul's YouTube channel,
right.
which ain't bad either.
Luke, I didn't know okay? that was going to happen. I found that out actually yesterday. So
Barstool Sportsbook is a big sponsor in this event, so hopefully we can catch up with those guys this week. That, you know, I mean, are you a big One Bite guy? The pizza reviews, the Dave Portnoy.
Oh, I've seen those. I don't know. I frankly don't know much about Barstool. I don't consume any of their stuff, but I'm told that Big Cat does a very popular podcast and is a nice guy. So I'm looking forward to hanging out.
Wow,
I met Dave Portnoy.
Yeah, that was a very old response.
Right? It's fine. I met Dave Portnoy. I spoke to him at actually May Mac. He was in the media room, and I met him through Robbie from Barstool. Robbie, I know a lot, and I like him a lot.
Unabashed Robbie Fox. Unabashed at exactly who he is.
Yep, that's who he is. So I've only had good interactions with the guys, but I don't actually know them or listen to their stuff.
Do you think Schmo knows his way around the gym?
Yeah, Schmo works out. Schmo's in good shape.
Yo, you should work out with him.
Why?
Two minds just getting together. You know, just right? All right, look. This has been like a two man improv show in which one guy doesn't speak English at all.
You do this bit where you do jokes for like the 15 people that love everything you say, and I am not going to laugh on their behalf.
All right, thank you to the staff who've painstakingly sat through all this, and thank you to the viewers out there. we'll get some room service diaries out there in the ethos. Check out our interviews, which are on youtube.com/morningcombat for all the bonus extras. If you missed our chat with Jake Paul this week, Tyron Woodley, Tommy Fury, Amanda Serrano, very good stuff right there. Check out All Access Daily. Check out the fight Sunday night. You can go to show.com. That's SHO/PPV. Pay-per-view. Why don't you order it now? You don't want any last-minute hiccups or difficulties. If everyone's trying to order at once and you can't get in, you kind of have to see what happens in this fight. It's just the way. It's just what it is, Luke. I gotta see. Right?
I am curious. I am definitely curious to see what, especially for Tyron's sake. I'm really, really curious.
All right. Star-studded. So these two stars are going to be front and center. Many different nations and backgrounds coming together.
And also, don't forget post-fight show. We will be right here for your post-fight show. Me, BC, live reacting the whole nine yards.
All right. For Luke Thomas, my name is Brian Campbell. It's been a pleasure doing this show with you. We've jumped the shark, probably. We're probably in the twilight of our run together.
We suck.
But we out.